Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. It is Thursday, July 18th. I am joined in studio by Walker Weilman, AFA Vice President of Operations. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and One News Now. Fred, good morning to you.
Yes, the person who is never bored.
The person who is never bored. Oh, yes, news-wise.
No. And especially since a man named Donald Trump entered the White House.
It's
something new every day.
And, you know, now you and I were on AFA Report for a long time, remember?
Yes,
years ago. Yeah, and there were days, back when Brother Don started that, there were days when it was a slow news day. I mean, it really was. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Where you go, well, we're talking about this.
What are we going to be talking about today?
Yeah.
What am I going to talk about today? And it was a short show. It was like
25 minutes. Yeah.
25 minutes. Yeah. Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
No.
And maybe it started when President Obama took office. I don't know, but it seems to have ratcheted up with President Trump. What do we got?
Well, I tell you, there was a Trump rally last night in Greenville, North Carolina. And this is becoming part of the story of his rallies now. They started to line up there at 4 o'clock yesterday morning.
I've never seen anything like this, by the way. Ever.
No.
Been following politics since I was in junior high school.
Even for Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
You know, I've never seen it. Like you say, I've never seen anything like this. We're still more than a year before Election Day next year.
Right.
All right. And we're a long way from 2016. But this is a pattern for Donald Trump ever since he announced he was running for president in 2015. He gets these huge crowds.
Yeah.
And last year, 2018, when he would hold a rally, sometimes they'd camp out the day before.
Yes.
And you turn know, people away.
It's like a new blockbuster movie coming out when people start lining up the day before to get tickets.
Exactly.
Or Black Friday at your local electronics store, people lining up before, you know, this is insane.
And no other candidate, Republican or Democrat, in the last 2 to 3 years has been able to match these type rallies.
No.
Yeah, that's a good point, Walker, because we see all these polls where Joe Biden leads Trump, you know, Elizabeth Warren leads Trump. But when these people speak, they have 200 or 300 people.
Yes.
Right? And here you get thousands coming out for Trump.
All over the country.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where he goes, he gets these kinds of huge crowds. Well, of course, last night's rally came within just a few days of the whole controversy involving Twitter remarks that the president made about the squad. Now, the squad, we'll keep identifying who the squad is. They are AOC.
Right.
A person, not a condition.
Yes.
And Congresswoman Presley, Tlaib, and Omar.
Right.
All right. Now, as far as I know, that when we say the squad, that's not something that President Trump put, that's not a name. I think it's self-identified. They call themselves the squad.
Yeah, because we were talking before the show, if President Trump gives them a name, it's going to be a little with a little more sarcasm.
Yeah, a little bit more salty, probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the to-ing and fro-ing is going between the squad and the president over the last 2 or 3 days. Well, if you think he was going to shy away from that verbal battle last night at the rally, think again, because they were in his crosshairs last night, and the crowd certainly loved it. Cut number one.
When you see the four congresswomen, oh, isn't that lovely? Representative Omar blamed the United States for the terrorist attacks on our country, saying that terrorism is a reaction to our involvement in other people's affairs. Cortez said that illegal immigrants are more American than any person who seeks to keep them out. She described contemporary America, that's you, that's me, that's all of us, as garbage. So Representative Ayanna Pressley, is she related in any way to Elvis? I don't know. Who knows? She thinks that people with the same skin color all need to think the same. She said, we don't need any more brown faces that don't want to be brown voices. We don't need black faces that don't want to be a black voice. And just this week, can you imagine if I said that? It would be over, right? It would be over. I have a suggestion for the hate-filled extremists who are constantly trying to tear our country down. They never have anything good to say. That's why I say, hey, if they don't like it, let them leave. Let them leave. Let them leave.
Well, mostly unscripted, which he seems to be at his best. But you will notice he changed the phraseology a little bit.
Yes.
From the controversial one on Sunday, I guess it was, go back from where they came from or
right.
something like that, to they can leave.
Right.
Some of the message, some of the criticism, I think, has gotten through.
I really think that his tweet on they can go back to where they came from, I think he was just ill-informed. I think he probably thought most of them maybe were born in another country and immigrated here, but they didn't, only one of them. So it's not unusual for President Trump to tweet something that's a little bit inaccurate or him not know as much, and then you know, he kind of clarifies later on. That's probably what happened
here. Because Tlaib is Muslim as well, right?
Yes.
I'm guessing that the president just assumed that no Muslims are actually born here. Erroneous, you know, but probably for a lot of Americans, they all think, well, don't Muslims come from the Middle East?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm just, nobody knows, but
names,
it seems reasonable.
Yeah, last names do kind of tell where your country at least, I mean, your family at least originated from.
Right.
Relatively, you know, in relative history, like within the last 50 or 100 years.
Yeah.
Because you can say, well, that's an Italian name or that's a,
right.
you know, so on and so forth.
So, but it is a good point to note that he has changed the narrative a little bit. Listen, I think one of us, maybe it was you, Fred, on one of the shows here this week. I don't know. I can never remember. But mentioned the fact that whether he intended to or not, the president does seem intent on facing off against the squad,
yes.
these four women,
yes,
in an effort to make them the face of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. He's going to run against them,
yes,
and socialism.
Yeah.
And it appears that Democrats are going to run against the president as a racist.
Yeah.
That's going to be their main argument. Who hears anything anymore about Russian collusion?
Yeah.
You hear anything like that from the Democrats?
No.
No. Now they got to find this narrative. But the president, again, his political instincts for not being a politician just frequently seem spot on.
Well, and to your point, it's not an exaggeration on Donald Trump's part to or just a strategy to try to make them the banner people, the squad I'm talking about. The reality is, the political rally is, and Nancy Pelosi knows this, the squad is taking over all of the air as far as publicity goes for the Democratic Party.
Absolutely.
She knows that.
And there's nothing Nancy Pelosi can do to stop it.
Nothing. The media loves the four.
Right.
Every time they open their mouth, they're there.
You know why? I think why the media loves them is because they clearly can't stand either Trump or the country.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people in the media are the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're going to trumpet whatever these four women say because they believe it.
Yes.
And when I say they hate the country, please understand, I don't mean that they don't love the idea of America. They just don't love the idea of America as it is.
Yes.
Correct.
They don't like where it's come from. Mm-hmm. They don't like what it is at this point. They want to change it. They want America to continue, but they want it to be made in their image. And they see these four women as being champions of that idea.
Yeah.
No question.
And the position that all Democrats have placed themselves in, even the so-called moderates and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and others, they've fostered an environment of name-calling and race baiting and calling people bigots, homophobes, and racist, even though they're actually not. They've fostered the name calling environment Now it's going to come back to bite them, and here's why. If they dare to correct the radicals of their party and try to bring them back in line with reality, then they now will be called names. And they cannot say anything about being called racist when Nancy Pelosi's not a racist, because they've been calling President Trump a racist, and he's not a racist.
Right. Yeah.
They fostered this. It's like having a child that you allow to do whatever, and you tell everybody around you that they can't get onto your child, and then the child turns on you.
Yes.
And then everybody around you is saying you can't get onto your own child.
That's right.
And then you have a wild child.
And what did Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, we try to say her name at least once a segment so people know what AOC is. It's not something you can get a drug for. Okay. What's the first thing she did with Nancy Pelosi? She threw the race card down.
Yes.
Yes.
And Nancy Pelosi's had to back off because if Nancy Pelosi's, like you said, Walker, if she's a racist, she's just like President Trump.
Yeah.
That's right.
And they can't stand that.
They have a political monster. The Democrats have a political monster on their hands right now. And you're exactly right. There's nothing Nancy Pelosi can do about it. They can't, because if she pushes a little bit, as she did there 10 days ago, against AOC, she said a bottle of water could win in that.
Well, that was a month or so ago.
Was
but
it?
She did say something about 10 days ago.
Yeah.
She said all they got is 4 votes.
Yes, and they attacked her.
Yes,
and they attacked her just the other day again, saying it's up to Nancy Pelosi to come to them. Remember that interview
with CBS?
That
was extraordinary.
Yes.
That we don't have to go to her. She needs to come to us. That's what you do if you're holding all the cards.
Yeah.
It's amazing. This is
extraordinary. And the fact of the matter is, someone like AOC might not even win re-election.
That's right.
I mean, she's – and Ilhan Omar, her favorability rating is only 9% in her own district.
Yes.
AOC is only 22%. Now, they may get re-elected, but the fact of the matter is – they might get primaried in their own party and get beat, or they might get beat by a Republican, but they are still going to determine, I think, the direction of the 2020 presidential race. Whether they're in after that and win their reelection or not, they are major players here.
I think what we saw in the North Carolina rally last night in Greenville, North Carolina, I think we saw another indication of what the focus is going to be for President Trump heading into the election next year, the campaign. So not only the squad, but also he talked about immigration and the security of our southern border last night. Cut number 5.
Democrats have put the needs of foreign citizens far ahead of our own citizens. Nowhere in this world is there anything like what's happening with immigration, how bad it is. The Democrats' open border policies deplete our public services, overcrowd our schools and hospitals, and bring crime, drugs, and deadly gangs into our community. The Democrats want to spend more money on health care for an illegal immigrant than they do for a citizen of the United States. You can't say you love our country if you want to destroy it through open borders. Open borders are a disaster.
So there you have it. So that'll be another point you're going to hear again and again and again, is what he says the Democrats want, an open border strategy. That's what they want. That's what they're getting. That's what's happening on our southern border and what it's doing to this country. And to his point, and this is such a tragic story, not sure we talked about this yesterday, but indictments against 22 members of the MS-13 gang in Los Angeles the other day, at least 7 or 8 counts of murder. And not all of these 22 are living in L.A. Some of them are in Oklahoma. But was it, I think, 19 of the 22 came in the country illegally?
Yes. This is an El Salvadoran-based gang,
yes,
MS-13.
Associated with they're kind of an offshoot of the main MS-13. So he has what's happening in reality in the news behind him. It's not just political rhetoric.
No, and this
it's
is
reality.
And this is politically brilliant because as we said, he is going to hit the theme of whether you love the country or not. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, the Democrats are talking about, always trashing America. Then he ties immigration, which is a huge issue, to that theme.
Yes.
You can't say you love the country if you're trying to destroy it through open borders.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, this is as we continue through the next 15 months or so before the election, reality on the ground is only going to help the president, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
Nothing good is going to happen with open borders.
That's right.
All we're going to do is we're going to continue to have death and destruction on that, coming either on the border or coming through that border, and that's going to hurt the Democrats, yeah. And the president is already framing his argument,
yeah,
that he's going to make to the American people.
Yeah, this whole battle over America and our identity has really breached the walls of parties. It's not Republicans over here and liberals over here. It's really people from both sides. Even I would say some people who are traditional liberals are probably not liking this radical stuff from the Democrats. Because here's the thing, if you're a Democrat, and yeah, there may be some things you want to change about our country, some policy stuff you think needs to be different, that's fine, that's why we have America, but these four ladies and then all of their supporters, they want to fundamentally turn, like Ed said earlier, they want to turn this country into a place you don't recognize,
mm-hmm.
Rather than build upon the greatness that we have, they want to completely just uproot it. So that does not appeal to your average American, and even your Democrat.
And as we've mentioned several times on the show over the last 2 weeks, these four ladies are true believers.
Yes.
You're not going to invite – Nancy Pelosi is not going to be able to invite them to her office for tea.
Nope.
Okay, and say, all right, ladies – what do you want? Okay, we'll give you this over here. Now we can play on the same team, right?
Mm.
No, you're not going to buy these ladies off. You're not going to be able to talk them down. You're not going to be able to say, let's come on, let's play nice. They're not out for that. They are out. They really do think America is a racist
mm-hmm.
nation and needs to be fundamentally changed, what Walker's saying. They really do believe that. Mm-hmm. And because they're true believers, and because they're young enough to say we have an opportunity here, we're not going to become a part of the establishment and settle down and settle in. We're going for our moment in history, and we're taking it.
Well, I tell you what, like your pastor on Sunday, the president's message seems to have 3 points. All right, and so point number 3 last night in his speech there at the rally in Greenville, North Carolina. He wanted to focus in on socialism, all right? Because that's going to be another theme of the election campaign, folks, that the Democrats, most of those people are running for the presidential ticket on the Democratic side, they're all socialists.
Right.
His point is they just want to give everything away to everybody. So we had a little bit of a funny play on all of that last night, cut number 6.
You don't have to pay for anything. You know, I joked. I said, and everybody will get a free Rolls Royce. Every family gets a free Rolls Royce. Every family. And the media said, Donald Trump is exaggerating. He knows that they're not getting a Rolls Royce. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't put it. Don't put it. Don't put it. Don't put that I said free Rolls Royce.
So there he was. I mean, he had the crowd in the palm of his hand. You know, promise. But he's making the point. They want free medical care for everybody, including everybody who's in the country illegally. Forget the tuition debt for everybody.
Right.
Government's going to pay for that, too. And on it goes. Today, the Democrats are going to be pushing in the House a new federal minimum wage, $15 for everybody, despite
right.
the fact that the experts who have looked at this say that'll put more than 3 million people out of work. He has what President Trump has is reality on his side. The Democrats are trying to fundamentally change this country, like Barack Obama said he want to fundamentally change this country. And more what Donald Trump is doing, this is what change will look like, folks. Is
right.
this what you want, America?
You know, what's interesting is I really believe that Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, they want what the squad wants.
Yeah.
The four horsewomen of the apocalypse.
Yes.
Okay. They want what they want. Mm-hmm. They just want to take their time doing it because they don't believe America is ready for it yet. Yeah. I don't believe there's a whole lot of difference policy-wise. I think these establishment Democrats are as radical in their beliefs as these four women. These four women, though, they want it now. And the miscalculation here, and I think people like Nancy Pelosi know it, is that most Americans aren't there yet. Now, you may in another generation see an America that's completely socialist, especially if the public schools continue to brainwash Americans, college campuses, so on and so forth, kids in college brainwashing them. You might have in a generation an America ready to vote Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I don't think they're there yet. And what's going to happen is the squad, I can't stand calling them that, the squad is going to force Americans to see what Venezuela looks like in this country before they've had an opportunity to brainwash them into accepting it.
Yeah.
And this is a potential political disaster. I remember when Ronald Reagan won two landslide victories as president, the word liberal became a bad word. Democrats didn't even want to be called liberals because it was associated with soft on crime, soft on drugs, soft on communists, cut the military, and they moved away from it. They lost the presidency three straight times because George Bush won after Reagan left office, so they backed away from it. This may force the Democratic Party to do the same thing with socialism.
Yeah.
If they get thumped in the 2020 election, this may dismantle the push for socialism, at least for another generation.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And this is one thing that conservatives have actually done better at the past few years is labeling Democrats and their policies as what they actually are.
Right.
And historically, we've been very bad about always being on defense, conservatives, that is, and we get called names and we get called bigots and haters, and then we're always trying to play catch-up. But finally, thanks to President Trump and his bully pulpit, we've labeled the Democrats and their horrible policies as what they really are, and that's socialism, and they're playing catch-up. I even saw a commentator, a Democrat, basically a Democrat strategist, who speaks on behalf of the Democrats, and he was saying the other day on Fox News that Democrats have to get a hold of this name-calling, and they can't accept the term socialist that Trump puts on us. We have to change the narrative because he said it's hurting us, us being called socialists, but it's hurting them because that's what they really are.
Yeah.
Well, actually, and what's happening is the conservatives are explaining to the American public what socialism is, and conservatives are getting a great deal of help from these presidential hopefuls on the Democratic side. Free this, free that. Everybody put up your hand when you're asked the question.
More regulation.
Free medical care for illegals. I mean, once again, like the squad, these Democrats are helping America to understand what socialism looks like.
Right.
Now, all they have to do, the Republicans, is put a price tag on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you've got them. Hey, listen, when we come back, the president, one of the criticisms of Congresswoman Omar, she's anti-Israel.
Yes.
All right, this is coming up.
You're not going to believe what she said.
Stay tuned, folks.
All right, folks. We're going to take a short break. Dr. Alex McFarland will be coming our way, coming your way after the break as well. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Back for more. We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time.
Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat can't roar?
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right, that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
I'm goineth to the Holy Landeth. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio, and a King James expert. I'm going to the Holy Land with my wife, Allison, and we would love to have you come with us. And I know a whole bunch of folks have already signed up to go with us in March to see Israel. And I'm just kidding about the King James expert part. And although you're free to use your King James Bible when we're in Israel, the tour guides nor I will be using King James English. We're going to see Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho. We're going to go to the Dead Sea. We're going to the Sea of Galilee for a boat ride, which you will remember for the rest of your life. It's going to be wonderful in March in Israel. For all the information, go to twholyland.com or twholyland.com, whichever you prefer. twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A Hollywood patriot accused of racism. That story next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of Champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
Chris Pratt is best known for his starring roles in Guardians of the Galaxy and Jurassic World, but he's facing some outrageous controversy after he was photographed wearing what critics are calling a racist T-shirt. Now, the T-shirt featured the American flag, along with the Gadsden flag. In other words, the Hollywood actor was wearing a patriotic shirt. The Gadsden flag was created in 1775, used during the Revolutionary War. It symbolizes liberty and freedom. But critics say it also represents white supremacy and a bunch of ill-informed haters piled on in the social media world. There's really no polite way to say this, folks, but if you believe the Gadsden flag is a symbol of white supremacy, you are either a pinhead or a nincompoop, or maybe both. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson, and we welcome to the program a man who's usually here on Thursdays. If he's not out preaching the gospel somewhere or ministering to young people on a college campus, Alex McFarland. He's an author and apologetics expert, co-host of Exploring the Word with Bert Harper, heard weekdays on AFR at 3 p.m. Central Time. Alex, welcome back.
Well, good day to you all. It's an honor to be here.
Alex, we're right in the middle of completely destroying the radical left.
Good.
Here on this program, so not going to be much left after we're done with them, but we do want to talk about a really important story that is just breaking this week.
Yes.
Regarding Representative Ilhan Omar and Israel. Fred, why don't you fill us in? I think you've got some sound on this. And then, Alex, we want you to comment on it.
Yeah. You know that President Trump has said one of his criticism of the squad, the four, is that they have made anti-Israel remarks. And in particular, two of the squad members, and we're talking about Congresswoman Omar, Congresswoman Tlaib from Michigan, they are both Muslims. Well, you may not have heard, folks, this week, in the midst of all the other controversy, Congresswoman Omar introduced a resolution that defending her idea of a boycott against Israel. Now, we know some universities in the country, some others, even mainline Protestant religions, are advocating what they call a BDS, boycott, divest, and sanction against Israel. They accuse Israel of all kinds of atrocities against the Palestinians. So here is Congresswoman Omar talking about her BDS resolution that she is offering up in the House. By the way, it has not been voted on yet. And going to hear a little bit about what she had to say, but I'm going to tell you she went even further than what you're going to hear. Cut number two.
When people feel that nonviolence does not work, that their voices won't be heard, that they turn towards violence. This week, I introduced a resolution with civil rights leader, our colleague, John Lewis, and Rashida Tlaib, who know the importance of nonviolence movements. It recognizes the proud history of boycott movements in this country dating back to the Boston Tea Party. We should honor these movements and that history, and we should honor our commitment to the principles that say we must hold our friends to the same standards.
All right, she went on, folks, and this is, you may find this hard to believe, but maybe not. She went on to liken the BDS movement, the boycott movement against Israel, she likened it to boycotts of Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union. She is likening Israel to Nazis and to communist Soviet Union. That's what she's doing here. She wants you to think of the browncoats, the Nazis, and she wants to put Israel... Think about this for a second.
Brown shirts.
The brown shirts. Yeah. The Nazis who killed 6 million Jews, she's comparing Israel today to the Nazis.
I that's breathtaking to me. When you first told me that this morning in our story meeting, I really didn't know what to say. I had not read this article, had not heard her, did not know what she was saying in terms of likening a boycott of Israel to a boycott of Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union. This woman is just beyond the pale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is, it's hard for me to comprehend. Now, I'm happy to hear that her favorability rating in the polls is only 9% in her home district, but this woman is poison. Alex, I mean, this sounds demonic to me. The hostility towards Israel, that's got to be demonic.
Yeah, you know, one of the reasons I could never be a Muslim is because I'm not a racist. Mm. And Islam is inherently racist, and the Quran in Surah 5:51 says that Muslims are not to take Jews or Christians for their friends because they're the enemies of Allah, Jews and Christians. And so, I mean, I've heard this on so many universities that, you know, the world and U.S. presidents, U.S. leaders, you know, going as far back to our founders like John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Abraham Lincoln, all affirmed the Jewish people. And even Lincoln, who had one of his doctors was Jewish, and Abraham Lincoln said that he hoped someday that they could have their homeland as their, you know, place of residence again, which, as we know, happened in 1948. Do you know, in 2009, guess who affirmed the reestablishment of the nation of Israel and affirmed our solidarity with the Jewish people? Barack Obama in 2009. So my point being, the whole world, by you know, historical precedent, the whole world knows the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people. Going back to the Balfour Declaration in 1917, Arabs have opposed Israel and the world's support for the nation of Israel, but it's disturbing on so many levels because by divine right and historical precedent, the land belongs to Israel. And yet Muslims and terrorist groups, you know, I would put her in the very same ilk as Yasser Arafat, Osama bin Laden, and it's my prayer is that through the noise of the media and just the, you know, mix of truth and error on the internet, that people will know how, as you said, Ed, demonic. At best, this reflects huge ignorance, and at worst, it might be demonically initiated. But it's a terrible thing, and I hope our leaders will soundly and quickly condemn it.
I don't think this resolution is going to go anywhere. They've introduced it. You notice she was second. She said she was second in the resolution, by her fellow Congresswoman Tlaib. Tlaib's background is Palestinian.
Right.
She also praised, Omar did in that clip we just played, she referred to the BDS as a nonviolent movement. And she praised nonviolent movements. I wonder if Congresswoman Omar has ever heard of Hamas. Is she not aware of how many incidents, even in recent years, of Palestinian terrorists blowing up buses in Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Now, she talks about in praise of nonviolent movements. Does she not read the newspapers? Now, I think she's well aware of what's been going on. Of hundreds of Israeli citizens murdered by terrorist acts by Palestinians. I'm sure she's also aware that the United States government has given hundreds of millions of dollars to better the life of Palestinians living on the West Bank, but they don't see that money. It goes into the pockets of their leaders.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yasser Arafat, when he died, had hundreds of millions of dollars in a bank account in Paris. They keep them starving, the Palestinian people, to keep them angry, and then they blame the United States and Israel.
And there's this misconception out there that both Israel and the Palestinians are equally responsible for the violence.
Yes.
Right.
That Israel, they just won't give up any ground, and they won't come to the table and compromise, and then they'll say the same thing about the Palestinians. But that's just not true. The Israelis just simply want to have their nation, their state over there, without having missiles fired at them when they're trying to have dinner, or having their school bus blown up or their bus stop blown up by a suicide bomber, or invaded by Hamas from the Gaza Strip. That's what Israel wants. They just want peace, but they keep getting attacked, and the rhetoric keeps getting launched at them, and they have to respond for the sake of remaining sovereign. That's all that Israel does, so the aggravation comes from the Palestinians.
Well, Alex, and I will say this, I've been very happy with President Trump's approach to Israel, to the nation of Israel, far different than his predecessor, President Barack Obama. And President Trump has carried out his promises with regards to the nation of Israel by moving the capital to Jerusalem when other presidents, including Republican presidents, said they would and then didn't.
It was a very courageous move.
Mm-hmm. It was. So, listen, this was kind of shocking. Now, I will say this. We want to be as honest as we can here that Representative Omar, again, she's the Democrat freshman congresswoman from Minnesota. She did mention, let me just read the quote. She said, "Americans of conscience have a proud history of participating in boycotts to advocate for human rights abroad, including boycotting Nazi Germany from March 1933 to October 1941 in response to the dehumanization of the Jewish people in the lead up to the Holocaust." So she does bring, at least she says, that what the Nazis did was dehumanize the Jewish people in the lead up to the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. But she is advocating for this BDS boycott, divest and sanction against the nation of Israel, because she is saying she's putting them in the same place as boycotting Nazi Germany. I don't know how you could miss that parallel. Yeah.
The inference.
Yes.
And you know what? There really has been a humanitarian crisis in Gaza for some time, just basic human necessities. And if you go to Israel, and I know many around the table have, and many listening have. I mean, you look at Israel, and it's a beautiful city. In some ways, it looks like San Diego in the modern parts of it. And just across the Kidron Valley, I mean, it looks like a landfill. But that's not because of any aggression on the part of Israel. All right, in 2017, there was a big story about how several billion had been given by nations, including America, to build a desalinization plant in Gaza to bring fresh water to the Palestinian people. But two things. Much of the money, millions and millions and millions of dollars that was given to help provide fresh water to the Arabs, didn't get to the Arabs because it was diverted and used for terrorism. The other thing was, there were so many squabbles that the Palestinians wanted to make sure any fresh water generated did not get to Israel. Mm. Can't let can't let any of our fresh water get to Israel. And so when people have done things to try to better the condition of the Palestinian people, the money so often gets funneled into terrorism. But the other thing I want to say is that Israel is not the aggressor over there. Hmm. And despite what people learn in college, let me just say about this BDS resolution. The Presbyterian Church USA, which has gone just heinously liberal, the PCUSA, which is like to the left of Hillary, if you can believe it, they were advocating boycott of Israel, and they were urging churches to take, if they have any investments in Jewish firms or stock portfolios that help Jewish companies with ties to Israel, take it out and invest in companies with ties to Palestine. I mean, this is just heretical, insane apostasy. But the whole wide world, by the left, and certainly by the American educational institutions that are secular, that the minds of many have been poisoned to be anti-Israel and pro-Palestinian slash terrorism. And it's a terrible thing. And like the Word of God says, for all who are Christians, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And nationally, I'm thankful that our president has made the promise his administration will always stand with Israel. He's repeatedly said that, and may God give us the strength to do that.
Amen.
Alex, I'm just going to ask one quick question, then we're only going to let you go. Because I understand that talking about prophecy can open up a can of worms on a talk show, but it seems clear to me that, especially in the Old Testament, that the forces arrayed against Israel prophesied for the end time. Okay, looks like it is kind of falling into place. And I wonder if you know of any other nation other than the United States. Certainly, I think there may be one, maybe Guatemala or someplace in Central or South America. Any other nation on the face of the planet that stands for Israel like America does? Because I wonder what would have happened 10 years ago. Even if the United States had not stood with Israel and kind of, basically said, if you touch Israel, we're going to bat for them. What would have happened by now? You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to write a new best-selling book here, but I don't see any other nation on the face of the planet standing with Israel like America does. And if that had not been the case, this alliance against Israel. Seems to me we might already have entered into kind of end time scenarios.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? During the Gulf War, interestingly enough, there was a prominent Presbyterian pastor, and as you know, many Presbyterians are very reformed and not premillennial dispensationalists, though all Orthodox Christians agree that Jesus is coming back. But there was a Presbyterian pastor in Greenville, South Carolina, who was on the radio and said that he believed instability in the Middle East virtually guaranteed that premillennialism was true. Hmm. And what's interesting is, you're right, and there are nations, I mean, Mexico, Spain, Peru, at one time or another, some smaller nations, and we thank God for them, have, you know, indicated support for the nation of Israel. Britain has been a mixed bag, right. But our greatest ally in the Middle East, the only stable democracy, is Israel. We've been Israel's ally, except for the, pro-Muslim administration of Barack Obama. But, Ed, I think you're right. I mean, we don't know the day or the hour. Jesus says in Mark 13 that no man knows the day or the hour, but it does appear the chess pieces are being arranged on the table that... And especially, you know, I think about things like the global, because of the LGBT agenda, the global suppression of moral knowledge. I mean, you know what's interesting is, I mean, there's always been sin and sinners, but to my knowledge, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first time that there's a well-orchestrated, well-funded, unrelenting global push to suppress moral knowledge. So that abortion and transgenderism, homosexuality can be legitimized. So my point is, instability in the Middle East, the increase in evil, conflict in the Middle East, apostasy within the church, the wiring of the planet with the grid, and certainly the rise of Islam, there's very little that would prevent end times Book of Revelation scenarios from playing out with amazing speed. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, that's what I say. I'm not trying to, shift our focus to a discussion of the end times. It just seems to me that God has placed America in its current position for several reasons, one of which I think is to delay until God's timing is set, is to delay what we see clearly in the Scripture is going to happen in the Middle East. And so when you have someone like Representative Ilhan Omar and these others pushing for a hostile position against Israel in this country, mm-hmm. I'm saying if America ever turns against Israel, that may indicate that the balloon is about to go up.
Yeah.
And things that we never thought were going to happen or thought were going to happen far in the future might be right around the corner.
Yeah.
That's why I look with alarm at what goes on college campuses in regard to hostility towards Israel. And then when you have a U.S. congresswoman whose sympathies are clearly with Muslims in the Middle East, even Al-Qaeda.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Remember the famous video of Omar saying, talking about equating our military with Al-Qaeda, and how people should. Yeah. This is why I view this kind of thing with alarm, because if America goes, I don't see anyone else willing to stand shoulder to shoulder with the nation of Israel in the Middle East. So, folks, just a little bit of prophetic warning. Mm-hmm. You better get serious with Jesus if you're not already, because
amen,
who
brother.
Knows who yeah. knows how much time we have left.
Absolutely.
Right. Any final comments, Alex? Or if tell us where you're going to be and where people can go to find out.
Well, praise God. I'm in Buffalo, New York right now at a youth camp. But listen to this. July 29th through August 2nd, we have our annual summer apologetics camp. And, we've got roughly 70 teens coming that we're going to teach them about God and country. Will and Miki Addison are going to be speaking for us along with several others. But the website is truthforanewgeneration.com. And then, of course, we'll be doing major citywide events in Richmond and Cincinnati. Richmond, October 11, 12, Cincinnati, November 15, 16. And in addition to great speakers like Todd Starnes and Josh McDowell, we'll have some great AFA personalities on the stage as well. So pray for us, and hope to see you when we come to your town.
Alex, one last question for you. You said you're in Buffalo?
Yes, sir.
Is it snowing?
No, it is beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Upstate New York. And the best thing, last night, I'm going to tweet some pictures. We had an amazing altar call last night. I'm in front of several hundred teens.
Wow.
Had a great ingathering of souls and commitments last night. But tell you, upstate New York in July is a very beautiful place.
Absolutely. Great. Great.
All right, Alex, thank you so much, brother. Hey, what's your website? Did you give it?
You can go to my own name, alexmcfarland.com, or for our events, many of which touch young people, truthforanewgeneration.com.
Truthforanewgeneration.com. Thanks, Alex.
God bless you all.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking about nations that support Israel.
Yeah.
This may surprise a lot of people, but there's been a big movement in Brazil towards Israel. Because, and it's some of the credit, there's a movement in Brazil towards evangelicals.
Yes.
And their new leader there is very pro-Israel. That may shock a lot of people, because you don't think of South American countries as being involved with this, but they have become very outspoken defenders of Israel in Brazil.
Good for them. And I have heard stories of, I didn't know this last part that you're telling me about, kind of a evangelical revival, huge
yes.
one
yes.
in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Listen, I'm just, he's talking about a great altar call. Man,
yeah.
that is, when I look at American Family Association and American Family yeah. Radio, I've often said, I look at our ministry here as being like an offensive line in football.
Mm-hmm.
We are holding back the defenders
yeah.
to give the quarterback time to throw downfield.
That's right.
And revival and a great move of God is what we're all praying for.
Amen.
And so we continue doing what we're doing to try to slow the decay in our nation and stand up against things like this BDS movement where Ilhan Omar is pushing.
Mm. All right. Well, we've been talking a little bit about part of the president's election agenda is to speak out against socialism. Well, a good friend of the president, Anthony Scaramucci, who worked for the president.
What was his name?
Scaramucci.
I just like hearing it. And, gee, what nationality would that be?
I think it's Irish, isn't it?
All right, go ahead.
They call him the Mooch.
The Mooch.
He's from the same neighborhood as President Trump there in New York. Yeah, he worked for the president for 10 minutes, I think.
When
the president was like. Anyway, he's got a new book out in praise of President Trump. And I don't know the exact title, but it's about Trump being for blue-collar America. And but he was on this morning and talking about the evil of socialism, cut number 4.
What I saw in the campaign was he was talking to the people that I grew up with. And ultimately, the very large group of those people felt like they got left out of the system. And so he's also got the right policies to bring those people back into the system. So the weird thing is this far-left socialism doesn't bring the people back into the system. What it does is it concentrates power at the top of a system. And so
that is very interesting. And create an image. If you don't understand socialism, socialism and the advocates of socialism become the puppet masters. That's what Scaramucci is saying.
Right.
In other words, the more that people become dependent on the government and government programs, they're holding the strings.
Right.
They control your life because they own the bank accounts.
Right.
And if you don't agree with them, you don't get the money anymore. We don't take care of you. And so when you look at the history of socialism, this is what happens. You have deep corruption at the top. You've got a few people holding the purse strings, and they keep you on the line. They're like drug dealers. Socialism becomes like drug dealing because those people at the top hold the drugs. They hold the money, and they keep you on the hook, and you keep electing them. You keep putting them back in power because you're afraid if they don't, they'll cut off those programs that you have become dependent
well,
on.
Well, and not only do they do that from an economic standpoint, but they also sometimes meddle around with the election system
yes.
and how people are put into office to favor their candidates.
Yes.
That's why Venezuela, the people, if you poll the people, the voters, they would say, we need a new leader.
Yeah.
Or we need to change the way we do things. But when they go to the ballot box, the military meets them at the door and they don't let them in.
Yes.
So it goes beyond. You know, economics is kind of the starting point, but once you get beyond that, then you start talking about military control.
Well, folks, if you're confused about socialism, we could create our own resource and may still do that. But if you are a little confused about what socialism is and the kind of things that Fred and Walker are talking about, I have a book I want to recommend for you to read. And it is very short, very thin book, written by George Orwell, the author of 1984, but that's not the book. It's Animal Farm is the name of the book. You guys ever read Animal Farm?
No.
Fantastic little book. It's like a parable, and it involves a farm. And find Animal Farm and read it, and you will understand socialism and communism and the corruption and the violence that comes with it. Mm-hmm. Animal Farm by George Orwell. You should be able to find it probably for pennies now. There are all kinds of copies out there, and you will understand what we're talking about. All right. Fred, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
Folks, we're going to take a 5-minute break for news. When we come back, more of today's issues. Steve Jordahl will be in to discuss more of what's happening both here and abroad. Please join us. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.